Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnati Mirandasya Ganagana Salakya Chatsurun Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Maha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swapadantikam. Before we launch into our topic, I have a story to share with you, and this is dedicated to all the long-suffering. Mothers and wives out there. Once upon a time, there was a good woman married to an annoying man. He would complain about everything. One day at the creek with his mule, he complained so much that the mule got annoyed and kicked him to death. At the funeral, when all the men walked by the wife, she nodded, yes. And every time a woman walked by, she nodded, no. The minister asked, why were you shaking your head yes for the men and no for the women? She said, the men were asking if I was all right, and the women were asking if the mule was for sale. Our topic today is rise and shine. Benjamin Franklin said, any fool can criticize, condemn, complain, and most fools do. One quote I ran across, spending today complaining about yesterday will not make tomorrow any better. Anyone in agreement with that? All right. Such is the world today that people will whine about anything and everything. Here's an example. Arthur Bundridge robbed a bank by pointing a gun and demanding $20,000 from a teller. When he got home, he discovered that he'd been shortchanged. Outraged, he stormed back to the bank to tell them what he thought of their service. That's when he got arrested. Our message tonight is, in a world of moaners, you be the one to stand out. You be the one to shine. You be the one in your company who does everything without complaining. You zip it up when you're stuck in traffic. When you know a juicy tidbit about someone who did you wrong, you don't pick up your cell phone and call all your friends. You be the mother who has only encouraging words for your kids. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do you have a grateful attitude? Do you have a my cup runneth over attitude? Or is nothing ever good enough for you? And do you have a my mouth runneth over attitude? Yeah, this job doesn't pay enough. My coworkers talk about me behind my back. My husband doesn't appreciate me. The boss is always in a bad mood. You can get up every day and you can say, good morning, Lord. Or you can get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. You can rise and shine, or you can rise and whine. Life's not fair. Why did this happen to me? I get all the bad breaks. One lady asked another lady, do you sometimes wake up grouchy in the morning? She answered, no, I let him sleep. Paul Turnier, Christian psychiatrist, quote, true happiness is always linked with a deep inner harmony. It's not dependent upon youth or having an active life. Those retirees who complain most bitterly about retirement are always the same ones who used to complain about their work and longed to be set free from it. Some people always are feeling sorry for themselves, always having a pity party. They feel everything is unfair. Everyone is out to get them. They have a martyr complex. I heard about a hypochondriac who caused his tombstone to be inscribed, I told you I was sick. Here in a Back to Godhead article, it is said, don't be too sensitive to others. Don't take on a persecution or martyr complex. Be happy in Krishna consciousness, have faith in Krishna's love for you, and be unmoved by the disregard of others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another kind of complainer is the cynic. Another year older, another step closer to my grave, happy birthday to me. Cynics go around saying, life is useless, nothing will ever change, what's the use? Cynics have no faith in the future, a deep-rooted distrust of mankind. Pessimistic, sarcastic, disillusioned, and above all, totally bored. The complaint of a cynic, quote, everything sucks, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Stephen Colbert talked about cynics, quote, young people who pretend to be wise in the way of the world are mostly just cynics. Cynicism masquerades as wisdom, but it is the furthest thing from it. Because cynics don't learn anything. Cynicism is a self-imposed blindness, a rejection of the world because we're afraid that it will hurt or disappoint us. Cynics always say no. But saying yes begins things. Saying yes is how things grow. Saying yes leads to knowledge. For as long as you have the strength, say yes. Another type of complainer is the perfectionist, impossible to please. Perfectionism steals your passion and kills your joy. Perfectionists can neither celebrate others nor enjoy their own lives. Nobody is ever good enough. They're always telling those closest to them, is that the best you can do? Nothing destroys the warmth of a home, the harmony of a marriage, more than being that person who's impossible to please. Perhaps you heard about the father who introduced his children. This is Pete. He's the clumsy one of the lot. That's Kathy coming in with mud on her shoes. She's a sloppy one. As always, Mike's last. He'll be late at his own funeral, I promise you. And that dad did a thorough job of criticizing his children for their imperfections. People, even sometimes those who love us, do it to us all the time. They set an imaginary bar that we can never come up to. It makes them feel superior to be always complaining about others' faults. I heard about the wife who told her husband, we'd make a perfect couple if it wasn't for you. Another man had inscribed on his wife's tombstone, here lies my wife in earthly mold, who when she lived did naught but scold. Good friends, go softly in your walking, lest she should wake and rise up talking. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was complaining. Relatives, friends, teachers, how can I confront them with weapons in battle? They're my superiors. If I kill those who oppose me, their wives will become widows, their children will become orphans, the earth will become overrun by unwanted progeny. Dear Krishna, I do not see how any good can come from killing my kinsmen. At this point, Krishna indicated that as long as Arjuna was paralyzed by negativity and complaining, nothing good is going to get accomplished. There'll never be any progress. Arjuna's complaining was the same thing as not trusting the Lord in his plan. Krishna was saying complaining is a complete waste of energy. Those who complain accomplish the least. In the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere it says, anyone who is steady in his determination for spiritual advancement must tolerate the onslaughts of happiness and distress without complaining. Paul Smith, in his book, God's Plan for Our Good, quote, there's a problem with standing in judgment of God. We do not know good apart from God. His actions are the very definition of good. To complain that God has done something he ought not to have done is like complaining that the sun came up too late to start the day. The day is defined by the rising of the sun, even as good is defined by the actions of God. To presume that we can judge God is to place ourselves over him. We can never make that mistake as long as we're humbly chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, there are several steps to stop complaining. The first one is to admit that it's a problem. If you are recorded every word for a week, how much griping, grumbling, grousing, murmuring, and complaining would you hear? It wouldn't be pretty. None of that ever makes anything better. Someone said, avoid still people. Still broke, still complaining, still hating, and still nowhere. I heard about a man who was marooned on a desert island. After he had been there for 5 years, he was found and rescued. As he climbed into the boat, the rescuers noticed three grass huts. They said, "We thought you were alone. Why are there three huts?" The man replied, "The first is my home. The second is my church." The rescuer said, "What about the third one?" "Oh, that's the church I used to belong to." Second step to stop complaining is to accept responsibility for your own life. The law of karma says, as you sow, so you shall reap. Whatever goes around, comes around. What you give, you will get. The problems that we have today, the things in our life that we're not happy with, that are unwanted, were created by a bad choice that I made in the past. The problem is of my own making. But I want to shift responsibility. I want to pass the buck. I want to blame others. Ultimately, shift the blame up to God. That's why it said, to blame is to be lame. Said that those who complain about how the ball bounces are always the ones that dropped it in the first place. Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear this story about Dharma the bull, whose three legs had been cut and severed by Kali, the personality of this age. Maharaj Parikshit, the emperor of the day, was touring the world, came upon the scene. In those days, none of the praja or none of the citizens were allowed to suffer at the hands of unscrupulous rascals like Kali. Maharaj Parikshit pulled out his sword. He was ready to punish the Kali personality. But because he had not personally eyewitnessed the scene, he asked Dharma to verify that in fact it was Kali who cut off his three legs. Dharma's answer is very interesting and very instructive. Dharma said, "We all ourselves are the sole causes for good and evil that comes." Dharma said, "I'm not going to identify Kali as the cause of my suffering. Kali is not the cause. I'm the cause. Kali is simply the instrument." Dharma totally rejected what is epidemic in this day and age. And you know what that is? The victim mentality. Dharma was having none of it. The poet said, "We shape ourselves the joys and fears of which the current life is made, and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine and with shade. We create the tissue of the life to be." Personality of bull totally rejects the victim mentality. Another thing you can do to stop complaining, of course, is to have the proverbial attitude of gratitude. It is said here that everyone should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because He is maintaining all living entities and supplying all their necessities. There is no way to express our gratitude except to pray with folded hands. I heard this: the worst person to be around is someone who complains about everything and appreciates nothing. I heard about a man who spotted some money crumpled on the ground. He picked it up, unwadded it, and discovered it was a $5 bill. Was he happy? No. He complained, "Just my luck. If someone else had found this, it would have been a $20 bill." Contrast that attitude with the attitude of Nick Vukacek. The number one motivational speaker in the world who was born without arms and legs. He said, I have had in my life the choice to be angry at God for what I don't have or be thankful for what I do have. It is said, be thankful in all circumstances. Not necessarily for all circumstances, but know that even in the problems, God has a purpose. I heard about a pastor's daughter. She was in an advanced stage of pregnancy, and an x-ray showed that her child in the womb was being strangled by the umbilical cord. She was rushed to the hospital. A very complicated, painful cesarean was performed. The baby's life was saved. She recovered after a few weeks of recuperation. All the time she was thinking, God, what was that all about? What purpose did that serve? And me, a pastor's daughter who have always honored God, put him first place. So happens that several weeks later, she happened to have a scan for her head and discovered an aneurysm that would have burst as soon as she tried to push out the baby through the normal birth process. Then she realized that there was a purpose for that problem. Another thing is to look for Krishna or God's hand in everything. It is said, this temporary trouble, if you pass the test, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and endure this temporary trouble, Krishna will repay you with great joy. It is enjoined, pay attention, not to what's seen, but pay attention to what's unseen. Seen lasts a short time, unseen lasts forever. This body, which we can see, lasts for 60, 70, 80 years, but the soul, which we cannot see, lasts forever. In the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 17th verse, Lord Krishna says, that which pervades the entire body, the soul, is indestructible. No one is able to destroy the imperishable soul. Elsewhere it is said, Keshaga Satika Bhaga, the life force within this perishable body is so small as to be compared to 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. And yet Prabhupada says here, this very small spiritual spark is the basic principle of the material body. Because the measurement of the soul is beyond the power of the material scientists, some of them foolishly assert that there's no soul. The atomic soul is definitely there in the heart, and thus all energies of bodily animation are emanating from the heart. When the soul passes away from the heart, all activity ceases, and the body is quickly discarded as useless. On this topic, St. Paul said, though our outer body and all its possessions will waste away, complaining about it will not change anything. Rather, use that same energy to renew your inner spirit every day. Prabhupada goes on, when we acknowledge the living soul within, when we place our faith and hope in the unseen God, then the seen dimensions of life are infused with new richness and satisfaction. When we give ourselves to the development of spiritual character and depth, then we enter into the ultimate reality of the spiritual world, which is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Now, Arjuna's complaining in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita revolved around three basic doubts. They stem from not completely trusting Krishna in three areas. One, Krishna's wisdom. Do you trust that Krishna knows what he's doing? Two, Krishna's care. Do you trust that Krishna cares about you? Three, Krishna's goodness. Do you trust that Krishna knows what is best for you? We need to trust that Krishna knows what he's doing. We need to trust that he loves us. And we need to trust that he's doing what is the very best for us. Isn't it interesting that the things that we complain about most bitterly are usually the very things that we need most in our lives. While we're primarily concerned with our comfort, Krishna is trying to build our characters. If you're not feeling any resistance in your life, it probably means that you're coasting downhill. I think you'll agree that none of us have ever gone to the next level of character without reverses, without opposition, without challenge, without resistance. It's the same thing in the gym. Some people, they have their card, they scan their card, and they head right for the sauna. And they think that that's the way they're going to get strong and healthy and build their muscles. I can tell you, it doesn't work. You have to go in and hit those machines that are going to give you resistance. That's what's going to build you up. That's what's going to make you stronger. It's called resistance training. Similarly, Krishna is making us and molding us into candidates to go back to home, back to Godhead, to the unseen and eternal kingdom of God. Now, in this life, down here, we will be accountable for every word that escapes our lips. Therefore, we're advised, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Speak only what will help others according to their needs. Be positive in your speech. We could try that instead of describing people as they are currently, to get into the habit of describing them as they could be, as they would be if they were faithfully serving as sons and daughters of the Almighty Lord. Complaining is a habit like any other habit that you can change with practice. Try going one day without complaining. If you are being recorded for one day, imagine on that recording were only words that inspired, words that encouraged, words that uplifted. Imagine if all the complaints were replaced with compliments. In the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 11th verse, with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is immediately dissipated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wouldn't it be great if none of us griped, complained, tore anyone else down at home, the office, or the temple? Wouldn't it be great if we were positive in a negative world? Wouldn't it be great if we stood out as examples of light and love? Wouldn't it be great if we shined with that happiness which will never be exhausted, shine with that happiness that begins only after we stop complaining? What would happen if nobody complained, starting with you? What would it be like if we had no whiners, no cynics, no martyrs, and no perfectionists, starting with you? Because it starts from the inside out, one person at a time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It starts by admitting that complaining keeps me from Krishna's best. It starts by accepting responsibility for my choices, by being grateful for my problems because they have a purpose. It starts by trusting Krishna for his wisdom, for his care, and for his goodness. If you're willing to stop complaining and start trusting the Lord, you'll shine, you'll stand out, you'll make a huge difference in this lifetime, and in the next lifetime, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead. Thanks so much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.